And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's wild and wonderful. What's going to happen? We have no idea. So let's sit back and enjoy the ride. Can I get a Wowzer Bowser Wednesday? Because God is in charge of this crazy bus called the Christian Journey. First, it is one of the most amusing principles in our Christian faith. Thinking that we know what God is doing as if he has revealed all his plans to us. We get the exact amount of information we need, but we do not know every detail like the Lord does. He knows, but he's not telling. Next, 1 minute we say it right, we think it right, and then we do it right. Then we get a swelled head and start to tell God how he should do things according to our brilliant wisdom. The good news is that we're not alone in this folly. Even the great apostles did the same thing. Man, we can sure keep good company. And finally, there are so many great ways to tell time, aren't there? There's the sun, the moon, the stars, the sky, the atomic clock by which we sync wristwatches, our clocks at home, our computers, our phones, our televisions, our radios, and a host of other products to keep us up to date and on time. Unfortunately, every one of these instruments cannot keep the real universal time according to God's perfect clock.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Now, you can email us, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us at 214-210-8483. Right here on my desk. Comes right to me. 214-210-8483. You can also call us at 972-445-0770. When you call 972-445-0770, amazing Jennifer will answer, and that's amazing.
Hello.
Hello. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. You have just been doing a stellar job.
Well, thank you, considering it's only my second day.
Yeah.
Third day.
Third day. So you already forgot a day.
Yeah. It's been that kind of day.
You know, I'd tell your boss to give you a raise, but you and I both know that's not going to happen.
No comment.
I'll mention it, but I'm just telling you. You and I both know. Here's the bottom line, folks. We want you to be able to engage with us. You might have a prayer request, a praise report. You might have a thought. You might have something the Lord's working on in your life. That's fantastic. We want to support that. The premise of our show is to encourage you and to help you draw closer one step at a time as we see the day approaching. That's what we do. This is not your church. It's a fellowship. And we're asking to be a blessing for you and let us know how we can bless you. In the meantime, we also do these weird Bible trivia questions. Here is the Bible trivia question for right now. And I'm going to warn you, you don't get caught off guard here. Who said, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews?" Who asked that question first? That was your only hint you're getting. Who asked that question first? Who said, "Where's the one who was born King of the Jews?" You got to answer that. Now, who was asking that first? That's the big key right there. Don't forget that whatever you do, if you call in or if you listen to it or whatever takes place, just keep in mind, any topic is open for conversation. It's not professional radio. We don't do everything correct. We're much more like you. We do the best we can, and we just hope it turns out. Okay. As well, as we always say that the show is like Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family. Kind of put that in a blender. See how it goes. That's why we call it the David Spoon Experience, and that's why we want you to buckle up, little campers. All right, last shot, and then we're going to get into – is there anything else we need to cover? Oh, we do need to do the website because I do want to do that a little more often. So website, because you can give if you want to, but not by guilt. Don't forget HeMustIncrease.org. Website, HeMustIncrease.org, HeMustIncrease.org. Email David at HeMustIncrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okie dokie. Last time we'll offer up the question, who said, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? Now, the first ones to say that is what we're looking for. If you think you know the answer, you can call 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483, or you can email David at hemustincrease.org. Okay. You ready? Oh, somebody's already calling. Okay, you ready? I'm getting through half the sentences, and then when I go to do it, then somebody calls. Now, again, if anybody wants to call and order a pizza for Jen and I, you just tell us. Okay, are we ready? Okay, ready? Ready? Okay. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Paul, David.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. It's great to hear from you. Now, this I was concerned because I know that some people will mention the other person who made this pursuit, but I was looking for the originals who said, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews?" Do you know who that is?
I think it was the wise man.
That is correct, sir.
Yeah.
You are right on target.
Yes, I wasn't real sure, but I thought that's who it was.
No, that was a great call, and I don't know if you've seen this. This has been floating around in a couple of places, but according to non-biblical tradition, there was a fourth wise man, but he was the guy that had the fruitcake, so nobody let him keep going.
That's right.
They left him in the desert.
That's right. Well, y'all have a blessed day, and thank you for taking my call.
You got it. God bless you.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. Yeah. I just see somebody going, so the preacher was saying that there was a fourth wise man. I mean, that's the kind of stuff, you know. That's okay. We'll just move on. All right. I want to talk to you about this hilarious notion. So, and it's kind of fun. So let me enjoy it because it's really rather unique. God is infinite. Okay. And he's interlinear. Now you're thinking, okay. What infinite, I kind of get. What's interlinear? Interlinear. So linear is a time frame. It has a start and has an ending. God is interlinear. He exists in all time frames. He exists in all of the realms of potential universes, which is when people say, well, there's a universe, and that's what the scripture says. No, they didn't understand the principle of a multiverse. That's fine. But God already demonstrated to David, if you go this route, this will happen. If you go this route, this will happen. Shows you that there was two different routes. God knew both routes. Doesn't matter. God's in charge, okay? And what I want you to get is that there are times where you and I, we attach and we do good. We connect and we do well. But I want us to keep the reverence and the respect due, and these are the kind of passages that help us do that, so I'll just kind of go from here. Isaiah 55, 6 through 11, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them and to our God, for he will freely pardon. 4. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. The reason that I bring that up is simply because all of us are in his pursuit, to some degree, of a relationship with the Lord. And in that pursuit, and if you just well, bear with me, when we have relationship with other people, you kind of figure out how to engage with those other people. The more you hang around them, the more that things are taking place. You know some of the things they like. You know some of the things they dislike. And as you get closer and closer, you learn more and you grow more and you grow more. Yet there's always still a little bit of mystery in the person, no matter how close. Even if you've married for 50 years or 100 years, there's still some sense of mystery. You don't know everything that's going on. That's just true in general. It's 20 trillion times more true with God. Okay. In other words, we draw in closer to the Lord, and we should, and we love it. And as he answers prayer, and as he teaches us, and even at times in correction, you're like, I'm really appreciative that you showed me that this was wrong. I want to go in the right direction. I don't want to do the wrong thing. I'm trying to get it right. Thanks for helping me. Thanks for guiding me. Even in all that, as you start to get a handle on it, there is an assumption by the believer, I'm just telling you, non-believers don't have this problem because they're not connected to the Lord. There is an assumption by the believer that they're starting to get a fix on this thing. I'm starting to nail this Christian faith down. I'm starting to understand this. And the reason that I bring that up is not to chide anybody, but to simply lovingly laugh with you so that you can understand that as soon as you think you know what the Lord is doing, you can bet everything you have that the Lord's got something much deeper, much more profound, and much more cool in mind than you ever thought in the first place. And as soon as you think you've got a tag on it, that's the time where you realize you just lost your humility. And it's like, oops. And as a great teacher once said, as soon as you figure out that you are doing well, humility just walked out the door. That's such a great statement, because as soon as you get, I'm doing great, there goes humility out the door. And we're supposed to walk in humility on a regular basis. Here's my premise, and you'll follow this as soon as we get into the next text. When we're doing great, it's fantastic. Let's keep that humility going and understand that God's ways are not simply once or twice, but always higher and better than ours. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
She thought he was a gardener. Sir, she said, if you have taken him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will go and get him. Mary, Jesus said. Now you think three words. Come on, Dave. Mary, Jesus said. She turned to him and cried out, Rabboni, which is Hebrew for teacher, or it doesn't matter if your translation says master, rabbi, I don't care. She said, Mary. She responded, Master, Lord. You see, the resurrected Jesus Christ speaks the name of his sheep. And Jesus knows your name. My sheep, Jesus said, know my voice, and they hear me. And you were going along in your journey. Maybe you were young and you were in church. Maybe you were young and somebody brought it to you. Maybe you were in the middle part of your life. Maybe in the later part of your life. But at some point, Jesus said your name. He said, David, Tierra, Tiffany, Noel, Joshua, Ashley. At some point, he called your name. The risen Messiah spoke your name to you. You know what? That's when you said, yes, Lord. Yes, Master. Yes, Rabboni. It's the most powerful moment, because it's the moment that the divine Messiah speaks to you and pulls you from one kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, into another kingdom, the kingdom of light. It is the moment that changed everything. And Billy Graham had a really good piece on it. Said some people can really define that moment, some people can't. Doesn't matter. It happened for those that, well, it's kind of like a metamorphosis, but it happened. And in the economy of God, it happens more specifically. And maybe the person doesn't know the date. I know my date, but maybe the person doesn't know the date that he said yes to Jesus. But there was a moment where Jesus called your name and you said yes. And that was the beginning
of your understanding of his depth of love.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I was texting Kirk, and, you know, I do voice recognition. When I can't type, I do voice recognition. Have you noticed, Jennifer, that sometimes voice recognition does not work properly? Have you noticed that?
All the time I notice it, okay. Yes. Okay. And you're like, what does that even mean?
I said fruitcake to the thing, and it goes, you a fake. And it's just like... I have nothing.
You can't win.
No, that's, you know. Okay. Next trivia question. We're just going to the next trivia question. True or false, this ought to be pretty easy, a blind beggar kept calling out to Jesus, but the people told him to be quiet. A blind beggar was calling out to Jesus, but the people said, be quiet. True or false? Pretty straightforward. If you think you know the answer, you can call 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483, or you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Let's see if I've got, I have my little comedic thing right here in my hand. Okay, when I say comedic thing, let me just say very little comedic. Okay. Yesterday's wasn't very good, was it? It was like not the best joke.
You know, comedy is subjective.
That should have been subjective to the shredder. That's kind of what I'm thinking. Okay, ready? All right. Now, this is an older one. Okay. And I probably have told this before, but it is one of those that I like. So if I really like it, I'll tell it again, like this one. It's pretty good for people that understand marriage. A couple was celebrating their golden wedding anniversary. Now, if I'm right, golden is 50, right? To silver is 25?
I think so, yes. Okay.
Their domestic tranquility had been the long talk of the town they lived in. Everybody thought they were great. A local newspaper reporter was inquiring as to the secret of their long and happy marriage. Well, it dates back to our honeymoon, explained the man. We visited the Grand Canyon, took a trip down to the bottom of the canyon by pack mule. We hadn't gone very far where my wife's mule stumbled. My wife quietly said, that's once. And we proceeded a little further when the mule stumbled again. And she said even more quietly, that's twice. We hadn't gone another half mile when the mule stumbled a third time. My wife promptly pulled out a revolver out of her pocket and shot the mule. I started to protest over her treatment of the mule, and she looked at me and quietly said, that's once. That's funny, though. Isn't that funny? Come on.
It was okay.
All right. Okay. All right, you'll like this one. Life is unfair. I lost my car keys at a ball game and never found them. I lost my sunglasses at the beach and never found them. I lost my socks in the washing machine and never found them. I lost 3 pounds on a diet and found 5 more. That's not bad. Last, I'm in a mood. Leave me alone. Okay. Three people were visiting and viewing the Grand Canyon, an artist, a pastor, and a cowboy. As they stood at the edge of the massive abyss, each one responded with a cry of exclamation. The artist said, oh, what a beautiful scene to paint. The minister cried, what a wonderful example of God's handiwork. And the cowboy mused, what a terrible place to lose a cow. Okay. I knew that was getting lost. That's why I did it. All right, here we go. That's good. We've done everything else, right? We've got our trivia question. We didn't have that answered, right? Okay. So I just want to make sure the trivia question was true or false. A blind beggar kept calling out to Jesus, but the people told him to be quiet. If you think you know, you can call in or text in, but you can call in. What's our number? 972-445-0770. Here we go. All right. Now, you know that what I was just talking about is us doing good and then maybe kind of over evaluating ourselves and so on and so forth. So you'll appreciate this story as you identify with the Apostle Peter. They replied, Jesus said, who do people say they am? Who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. What about you? He asked, who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you're the Messiah, the Son of the living God, right? One of the best things that ever took place, right? Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Going, skipping to verse 21. Now, this is three verses later. Is everybody following that? I mean, three verses later. Not a lot of time. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed on the third day and be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Never, Lord, for this shall never happen to you. Jesus turned to Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, and you have in mind the you don't have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. I love this because of the contrast, and you can't take away anything from Peter. He's made the greatest confession. Thou art the Christ. I love the King James. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Nobody can withdraw that from him. You can't pull it out of Holy Writ. He gets the credit. I can't even imagine how many sermons have been preached on thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. In fact, what people say about Jesus is ultimately how they're going to decide where they spend eternity. It's just so critical, right? Fantastic. Peter's catching on. He's got a handle on it. He's got a grip in the faith. He knows what's going on. He's hanging out with Jesus. Three verses later. After he gets the accolades from Jesus. And by the way, Jesus gave him accolades. Do not say he didn't. He said, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. It wasn't revealed to you by flesh and blood, but my Father in heaven. That's a nice way of saying God the Father showed you that. And Peter's like going, that's right, God the Father showed me that. That's right, okay? And so God the Father showed that. That's what Peter, now Peter gets it. Peter knows. He understands. He's got it. So Jesus is talking about the plan of redemption, and then Peter's like, Jesus, nah, let me explain to you, Jesus. You're not going to do it this way. That's the wrong way to go about this. You can't die because, that's not really the way. So what happens is after Peter makes this outstanding profession, great connection, great declaration, within the next little bit, Peter's telling Jesus how to be Jesus. You just have to see. He gets this, and he makes the right proclamation, and he's correct, and Jesus gives him the props. And Peter's head... Do you remember the Grinch story about his heart and that his heart grows 10 times or whatever, like 4 times or whatever many times? Well, that's what happened to Peter's head. And all of a sudden he thought he knew best and he was going to tell Jesus how to Messiah. Talk about going from the throne room to not the throne room. Jesus turns and looks at Peter. He turns and says to Peter, now there's commentators say he must have looked at the other disciples as much as, I don't know. Here's what I know. He looks at Peter and he goes, get behind me, Satan. So just a few minutes earlier, it's like, great job. What a great statement. And then the next thing he says is, you're an idiot. He says it in the nicest way. He calls him Satan. Now, it's not Satan himself, but Satan's influence and thinking. And what does Jesus, by the way, identify Satan's influence and thinking as? As human concerns, humanity, the way of the world. Wasn't that Peter didn't have a good thought on protecting Jesus. It's just that Peter had the wrong thought about the kingdom of God. And why I bring that up is simply for us to get a better handle on, we think we get it, we think we're drawing in, God does something a little different, and then we are like, we're going to tell God, well, it should be like this, or you should answer like this. In fact, I've had the Lord, I think I've been convicted, if not 1,000 times in 40 years, certainly somewhere between 500 and 1,000 times, telling God when I pray how he should answer the prayer. Like, I know how it should be answered. It's not that I don't know what the outcome is that I'm looking for, but I'm telling God how to do it. Because, you know, after all, he needs help. And again, I'm not alone. God made a promise to Abraham. Remember, between the promise that God made to Abraham and the time that Isaac was born, it's 25 years, right at about 12 years down the road, 13 years down the road, in that ballpark, Abraham and Sarah decided, well, God needs a little help with this promise. Let's just put together a little family and we'll just deliver it for him since he's not doing it. And then they took over, created Ishmael. How'd that work out? How many times have you and I created Ishmaels in our life that didn't need to be created that way? Didn't have to happen that way. It's not that God can't make it work out for good. Of course he will. But it just shows you that our ability to kind of, well, you know, the Lord needs a little help. Where do you think these statements come from? You know, God helps those who help themselves. What? You can't even breathe apart from God's absolute, momentary, everyday gift of oxygen in your lungs. This is absurd. Right? It's absurd. So we need to be aware that if Peter can do it after hanging out with Jesus, maybe we ought to be careful that when we're in sync with the Lord and we do something really good, instead of being a little puffed up, we should be deflating and recognize that after everything that we've done, said, and been are, we are worthless servants just trying to walk with the Lord step at a time. I'm not telling you to be a worm. I'm telling you to be God's worm. Get it? There's a difference. There's a difference in that. I hope you catch that joke right there. Okay, true or false, the blind beggar kept calling out to Jesus, but the people told him to be quiet. That is true. That is exactly what happened. And the beggar cried out all the more because they tried to discourage him from reaching Jesus. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
John 7:24, stop judging by mere appearance and make a right judgment. That's all good. For 1 Corinthians 6:2, do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if you are to judge the world, are you not competent to judge trivial cases? You can't say Christians can't judge. They're commanded to. Here it is right here. Ready? Here's the bowling ball knocking down the pins. Every day as Christians, we have to judge what is appropriate, proper, healthy, and useful. Also, what people we believe we should hang out with, trust, believe in, or let influence, we have to judge that on a regular basis. When you choose your church, you're using your judgment abilities.
Bazinga.
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 I love that. Because listen, when you're choosing your church, you have to decide to pick one over another. Oh, here's the key. You're going to hate me. Ready? Here it is. If we have no ability to judge, we can't vote.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Okay, so here's the trivia, how we're going to do the trivia question. This is a question three and question four. This question and the next question are somewhat connected.
Aren't we sneaky? Okay. If you guys remember the Flintstones, you would really appreciate that.
Aren't we sneaky?
True or false? Jesus had half sisters as well as half brothers. True or false? Jesus had half sisters as well as half brothers. If you think you know the answer to that, you can call in 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483, or you can send an email to david@hemustincrease.org. Now, today we're going to get our stuff done.
I'm committed to getting our stuff done because I'm doing bad on that. So we're going to do history first, and then we are going to do our word in the next segment. But true or false, Jesus had half sisters, half brothers. There it is. Let's do our sound for our history.
Let's go living in the past. Let's go living in the past.
Okie dokie, artichokey. All right. Remember, okie dokie, artichokey. That's theological, but alrighty then, that is not. Don't ask me why. Today is, I just don't even know how to do this one. Today is National Tug of War Tournament Day. Did you ever do tug of war?
I did, yes, back in gym class.
In gym class, right? Mm-hmm. Did you ever have to do it like over a pit or something?
No.
Okay, all right.
Did you?
Yes. I won't say if we won or not.
Okay.
Showers were really good, though.
Gotcha.
To take a monkey to lunch day. I don't even know how.
Because we all have monkeys to take to lunch.
I just have no idea what that means. It's National Junk Food Day. They should not have a day for National Junk Food. That's a bad idea, only because we live on that stuff, so it's a terrible
idea.
That's
every day.
Yeah, I don't even get that. All right, and then for history, for those that are really into it, 1969 and this day, Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin became the first humans to set foot on the moon. Here's a quick little trivia bonus. Do you know what they brought with them book-wise? A micro copy of the Bible.
I was going to say the Bible.
That's right. Isn't that amazing? It's like, it is. Wow, that's pretty cool, I think. Coldest day on record, 1983 in Vostok, Antarctica. I can speak. 129 degrees below zero.
That's cold.
There is no, how would you even survive? I mean, that's just, wow.
Anything below 60 and I'm like, brr.
If it gets exactly. I came out of Phoenix. 60 would have been a cold front, right?
Exactly. Like, yes.
Then San Diego, well, it was 74 and sunny almost every day. Not every day. And then the last thing to tell you is 1931 on this day, first regularly scheduled TV broadcast. CBS begins broadcasting with their experimental station, W2XAB in New York. The first program was hosted by New York Mayor Jimmy Walker and featured Kate Smith, the Boswell sisters, and George Gershwin.
That's not Jimmy J.J. Walker, is it?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Dynamite!
It's Dynamite! We just saw him the other day on one of the, sometimes what we do is some of the other shows are just too far. So we watch the older 70s.
The reruns.
Shows. Yeah. And he was on one of those shows. It was just so funny. It's like, look at him trying to act. Anyway. All right. Nobody get mad. All right. Now, keep in mind the question that I asked you. The question was, true or false, Jesus had half-sisters as well as brothers. Now, by half, in that definition, we are simply meaning that they came out of one parent, not both parents. Okay? So, for somebody's looking for a definition, we will explain that at a deeper level in a second. Okay? But what we know for sure is that Jesus was born from Mary and the Holy Spirit. Got that. Okay, let's go into this next little part. This is kind of one of my favorite more parts element, and that is, and I've talked about this significantly, I've written about this, I've preached about this, I've taught about it, I've shouted about it. The story about Martha and Mary to me is just one of the most, I think it's one of the more fascinating, deep and profound stories to understand people who are close to Jesus and who Jesus absolutely loves, absolutely adores, and just understanding their connection to Jesus, but yet looking at their own faith and how they process this. After Jesus heard the news that Lazarus died, he waited a couple of days before he went to see Martha and Mary. A lot of people initially would think, that's unbelievable. Listen to this in verse 17 on John 11. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Why that's important is because it's 3 days in rabbinical teaching that a person cannot come back from the dead from. Okay? Remember, there were resurrections of the dead in the Old Testament. A couple examples there. But after 3 days, they just thought it couldn't happen. Verse 18, now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem. 2 miles. That's not a long walk, folks. And many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them for the loss of their brothers. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him. Mary stayed home. Verse 21, Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. Now, I think that's important because when Martha says that, that's the sister, right? But when Mary sees Jesus in verse 32, she said, Lord, if you've been here, my brother would not have died. See, this is a family thing, people. They said the exact same thing to Jesus. Well, if you'd have been here. And that right there, that's the problem. I don't even have to go any further. I just all key in on that. What Martha and Mary, people that loved Jesus, adored Jesus, said to Jesus, you know, if you'd have been here, that's the whole premise of understanding when you say to the Lord, if only you would have, and then fill in the blank. If only you would have made that person's heart more soft. If only you would have made that person's heart more hard. If only you would have given $1,000 here. If only you would have paid this bill. If only you would have connected this. If only you would have protected me here. If only you would have not allowed this. If only you would have stopped this. I mean, you might as well just say, if only you just didn't create humanity. Right? What's the difference? And that saying right there is the problem that we have as believers. Not that we don't love Jesus. Martha and Mary loved Jesus. Yeah, Martha was type A, you know, heavy duty, you know, let's get everything prepped. You know, Mary was chill, sitting at the feet of Jesus. What's happening? Okay, so that's great. Personalized. That doesn't matter. They both loved Jesus. Jesus loved them. That's fantastic. They both said the exact same thing. So people with different personalities, high A, low B, coming into this situation saying the same thing. You know, Lord, if you'd have been here, if you only would have done this, if you only would have answered this prayer, if you only would have said it like this, done it like this, showed it like this. Now, I don't have to go any farther to make the point that when we do that before the Lord, what's taking place is usually we're in a situation, it's not the same situation where our brother's passed away, sitting in a tomb for 4 days, but our situation is drastic or bad.
It's not good. We just think, Lord, you could have circumvented this. You could have changed this. We could have really gone a different direction. And what's taking place is God the Father, through Jesus Christ and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, is going to do something magnificent, and nobody sees it. You know what they're seeing? The death, the pain, the ow, the grief, the frustration, the disappointment. Let me say it this way. You know what they're seeing? The loss. And that's all they're seeing. Now, what's amazing is we go into the story, you get further in, you find out that Jesus, you know, Lazarus come forth. People say, why do you say Lazarus come forth? It's possible other people were buried in there. And if he was just said come forth, they might have all come out. So we don't know that. But here's what we do know. After he was resurrected, many people believed. So many people believed they wanted to kill Lazarus again. They wanted to kill him. You know, execute him, because he was creating a problem for people converting and coming over and being saved. But all of it goes back to Martha and Mary, who loved Jesus, adored Jesus, connected to Jesus, believed in Jesus, knew he was the Messiah, knew he was the one to come, knew he was the answer from God. And they said the same thing from different personalities. You know, if you'd have done this different, right? Remember when you go back to the Isaiah 55 text that we did in the very beginning of the show, where we used to talk about God saying, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And you keep thinking, why would God allow this? Why would God? He knows so much more than we do. We can't even figure out why he knows any of it. I mean, how he does any of it. It's all so far beyond us. It's like, okay, whatever. Sometimes it should just be, okay, God, you do your thing. I'm just going to sit here on the side and cheer. Yeah, go, God, go. Go, God. And the reason that I bring that up is because too many of us have too much doubt or frustration with God because we wish God would do it differently. Here's what I'm going to tell you. Ready? Stop that. Knock that off. You're talking about the creator of the universe who gave you life. He knows exactly what he's doing, and he allows exactly what he allows for his purposes, and we're supposed to trust him for that. All right, we're going to take a short break and come back for our last segment. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break, we'll be back, and then I'll answer the trivia. Can't stand the skill, can't
stand the shame. You may be from a Baptist background, a Pentecostal background, a non-denominational background. David Spoon has that too. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, then give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. On God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
Every once in a while when I do the radio hosting, I have this wonderful opportunity to talk to people that influence the church, that are a blessing to the church. Today is no different. I am honored and blessed, by the way, to have the opportunity to talk with Pastor Robert Morris. He is the founding and lead pastor of Gateway Church. He's a best-selling author. He's written some excellent material, but he has a new book out, which has the greatest title ever, next to the Bible. The new book is called Take the Day Off. Please. That's all I ask for. The book is entitled Take the Day Off, Receiving God's Gift of Rest. Pastor Marshall, you're there with us.
I am, David, and it is so good to talk with you today.
I do want to let you know before we get going that I was actually introduced to you by somebody at your church about a year ago. I was at a place called Inogen. And somebody named Robert, who went to your church, he gave me your book, Beyond Blessed. And I had not actually had the chance to engage on any of your material yet. I read that. It was a really timely book, which was really cool.
Oh,
and then I was able to go and get your book on the Holy Spirit, which I thought was one of the best pneumatology books that I've read in a long time. So just to let you know, I really appreciate
that. Thank you. I came from a Baptist background. And so I have some friends that are Dallas Theological Seminary. I have some friends that are Church of Christ, and I have some friends that, you know, just come from all sorts of different backgrounds that are not quote-unquote Pentecostal charismatic. And again, that's not my background either. I went to Criswell right there in Dallas and to East Texas Baptist College before that. But anyway, I've had so many guys tell me that they really appreciated that book on the Holy Spirit. And they may not even agree with everything in it, but they appreciated the sensitivity and the way I handled the person and the Holy Spirit. You know,
It was a great job. I mean, I was born and raised Jewish. I became a Christian. I have a Baptist and a Pentecostal ordination.
And Pentecostal.
Yeah, I'm a Baptist. I'm a Calminian, and I'm a manifold millennialist. So, anytime you want to sit there and talk about diversity, I'm there for you.
The David Spoon Experience.
If Jesus was
welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. This show just goes by fast. I mean, this is the last segment. I mean, what happened? All right, I got to answer the trivia question. Some people are going to be very, not upset, but be aware of it. The answer is true or false, Jesus had half-sisters as well as half-brothers. True. Mark chapter 6, verse 3, and then Kirk also pointed out Matthew chapter 13, where it talks about Jesus. It says his sisters, okay, so that's a plural. So you know it's at least two. Were there more? Probably. I mean, there's no way to know. You know, the next thing that you know is going to happen, somebody's going to talk about the long-lost sister of Jesus. Just look for it. Bookstores everywhere. It's got to be coming. And then the brothers, and then this is why I brought this up. Jesus had four half-brothers. James and Joseph were two of the brothers. Can you name one of the other two brothers? James, that's James who wrote, and then Joseph, okay. And then he had two other brothers. And so since you know it's in Mark 6, 3, you could probably look there, or the Matthew 13 reference, okay? They had two others. What were their names? Ooh, that's mean. Isn't that mean? But they were connected. See how the trivia questions were connected. By the way, if you want to call in on that answer, 972-445-0770. Or 214-210-8483. If you get a variation of the name, it's fine. You've got to say tomato. No, it's tomato. Okay. Okay. Let's just move on. Hebrew word. Oh, first time in like, you know, 5 days. Let's do our Hebrew word. Here's our Hebrew sound.
Hava, nagila, hava, nagila, hava.
Yay! I get to do my Hebrew word. And so with that, I'm just going to say potato latkes. Do you know what potato latkes? Those are good, huh? You like those?
I've never had them, but I know what they are.
Oh, I can't go back to my grandma. that's some serious food. I mean, my mom was a really good cook, but my grandma, Okay. Numbers chapter 15, verse 25. So the priest shall make atonement for the whole congregation of the children of Israel, and it should be forgiven them. The phrase make atonement is kafar. Kafar. Okay? Kafar. 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 Some think of it's shafar, like chauffeur. No, it's really kafar. But let's just say kafar. And it means to cover, to make atonement, to make reconciliation, to pacify, to appease, to clear, to purge, to cleanse. Make atonement, kafar. You are now walking in the kafarment of the Lord. You have been atoned for. It has been taken care of through the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay. Good trivia answers all coming in, and very good job, everybody. We're going to answer that towards the end. If somebody calls in, we'll let them answer, but if not, we will answer it. 972-445-0770. So there's four, and you just got to look at Mark 6:3, and then also the Matthew 13 reference. Okay. All right. So here's the thing I want to close with. You're going to think that this closing is maybe not as connected, but you'd be wrong. You just got to follow the bouncing ball. You know, when they used to do the bouncing ball at the bottom of the screen and you would read it, and that's how you follow the song. So we talked about God's ways being higher than our ways. I don't think that's really difficult for us to grasp. We know his ways are better. But we also talked about Peter, you know, hey man, I'm getting it. I'm getting closer. I'm getting a better handle on things. And then he gets the right answer and then he kind of puffs up. So in one instance he's looking you know, from the spiritual correct point of view. In the next instance, he's looking more in the flesh. He's got his focus going in different directions. We get that. We looked at Martha and Mary and just their whole, let's just say it, they're a guilt attempt. You know, if you'd have been here. And by the way, that never works with God. So when you're praying, when you try and guilt him, you know, Lord, that doesn't work. Okay, so there's no point in trying that. That's useless. Here's the thing that we need to understand, and as difficult as this is to connect, you need to kind of follow together in the sequence so we can understand that when the Lord does something, he does it different, and we need to go, no prob. We need to be like, yeah, awesome. Luke chapter 7, verse 18 through 23. John's disciples told him about all these things. Calling two of them, he sent them to the Lord and asked, are you the one who's to come, or should we expect someone else? When the men came to Jesus, they said, John the Baptist sent us to ask you, are you the one who's to come, or should we expect someone else? At that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, sicknesses, and evil spirits, and he gave sight to many who were blind. So he replied to the messengers, go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, and those who have leprosy are cleansed. The deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. What's important about that is to understand that John the Baptist is recognized as one of the great prophets in the kingdom of God. Jesus gave him that declaration. Jesus identified Johnny B as top-notch. As top-notch as he was, when Jesus showed up, John was expecting something a bit different, and instead of saying, if you would have only, he said, well, are you the guy? Because he wasn't making the connection. And Jesus' response is, go back and tell John, this is what's happening. The blind receive their sight, the lame are walking, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and good news is proclaimed to the poor. And blessed is he who does not stumble on account of me. Jesus, in his presentation of Messiahship, was not what John the Baptist had expected, but it was what God had planned. And because it was different, John was trying to kind of nail it down. Okay, are you the guy? I mean, I'm just making sure here. I'm about to die. I want to make sure I got this on track, right? I'm going to die for this cause. And Jesus says to him, yes, it's on track because I am the guy, and it's really good if people don't get hung up on how I do what I do, but just acknowledge and surrender. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. How he does things is not always in the box that you and I put him. How he answers things, how he responds to us, how he takes us through the process, how we go through the storms, how we come out of the storms, what the result is because we come out of the storm, it's not what we always anticipate. It's not in our box. It's up to God to do what he wants to do, get this, the way he wants to do it, period. You can petition as you are encouraged to. There might be, I think, about 800 scriptures about petitioning, maybe a little more, in regards to petitioning the Lord, and there's nothing wrong with that. But you don't tell God how to do the method, and you don't tell God how to do the timing. You make your petition known, and you surrender. And you let the Lord take care of the rest of it. Why? Because he knows what he's doing. He knows how to do it, And he knows how to do it to get the most out of it, which is something you and I don't know. Had Jesus gone early for Martha and Mary, Lazarus would not have resurrected and many people would not have converted. But they didn't know that. Had Job been aware that God was bragging about him, he would have spoken quite differently. But that's a part of our process, that why it's in Holy Writ, for us to see that. My whole point in bringing this to you is to say, pursue, seek, ask, knock, drive God crazy. Annoy him, do whatever you got to do. But when it comes to his methodology and his timing, hands off. That's not for you or I to touch. It's for you and I to trust. He knows, oh, this is just going to be the dumbest statement I've ever made, but he knows how to be God. I just think that's okay. Thank you, Lord. Just any way you see fit, big fella, you just let us know. It's like it should be more like that than anything else. All right. I do need to answer the trivia question, so I don't want to, go through what we went through, so I'm answering it early. So there were four brothers, James, I'm really not sure if it's Joseph or if it's really it's J-O-S-E-S, which, you know, sometimes I know how to say that and sometimes I don't. It's Jude, which would also have been Judas, but Jude and Simon. I think it's Jose, but I just don't know. Okay, don't get mad at me for that. So he had four brothers. Three of them were J's, and then one was a Simon. So I don't know. I don't know what they could. Well, who knows what Mary and Joseph were thinking? I don't have no idea. Well, let's see. Joseph. Okay, so you got three J's. I don't know where the S came from. Holy Spirit? I don't know. All right, so anyway, the whole premise of that is, so there's four brothers, just to let you know. Mark chapter 6, verse 3 would be the text to look up. The biggest thing that I want you to get out of the whole thing that I'm sharing is let God answer the way, not let God, just stand back while God answers the way he wants to, in the timing he wants to bring about the best possible result, because he knows how to do that better than you and I. That's why, again, though God slay me, yet will I trust him. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. 22.5-hour break, then we'll be back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.